Welcome to Making Mistakes, a show about being in business, being in charge, and being the one to totally screw it up. Hosted by two lady C-suite types who are still learning, like you.
I was singing and then it wasn't recording.
So that's a mistake that we can talk about?
Will has started to do this with Extraneous. He started to do a very, very unrecognizable version of our theme music every time we sit down to try and record. And it's obnoxious. And he's infected me with it. Yeah. Whereas Mischief's Making Mistakes is... Welcome to Make New Mistakes.
Welcome to Make New Mistakes.
I want everybody to imagine me with a glass of wine and a cigarette in my hand, even though I don't smoke. That's how I'm going to be during this episode, because this is about a subject that I need to talk about and learn about.
I'm excited. What are we talking about?
We're talking about acting at work.
What do you mean
by that? Out loud. Hold it inside. Learn how to hide. No.
So like managing emotions. Now I'm thinking about Frozen. I don't know why. Okay. That just like veered me into conceal. Don't feel. Don't let it show.
Right. And I think that's like towards the point and what I wanted to make and why I wanted to talk about this, because we talk a lot here about espousing a type of management style that allows for emotions, that allows for people to be who they are, that does not look down on the showing of emotion.
Yeah.
However, there are times in business when it behooves you, and therefore, if you're in charge, behooves your company for you to not cry out loud or to mask. And I find that impossible. I find that actually impossible.
What about it? Let's dig in.
It's pretense. I hate pretense.
So does it feel inauthentic? Like it feels like a lie?
It feels like a lie. And I know that it's not a lie to, you know, not say always what you're feeling all the time, but it feels so much like a false. It just feels false. Mm-hmm. And every time I try and like shoulder in to put on a face, do it, just do what you got to do to get through it. Not every time. I can do it at events now.
Yeah.
When we need to quack. Quacking. We have never explained it on the show. Takiya,
oh
please.
My God. This is the moment.
This is the moment. Takiya's going to explain the quacking.
When we talk about being ducks, which is on the cover of the album art for this podcast, and we talk about it a lot at our events, and we do a whole spiel about being a duck. And there's a saying, I don't know what you call it. There's a saying that you should be like a duck, which is calm on the surface, but paddling like hell beneath the water. And so we walk around conventions and we tell people to quack, and we like tell people when they're being a really good duck. I have a duck tattoo. It's become this thing, which is so funny because I don't think the first time I ever said it, I really thought much of it. But through repetition and honestly through a lot of people having fun with quacking.
Yeah.
It's definitely become a thing at Mischief. I think that it's really relevant to this conversation about maintaining your composure and like being calm on the surface when you are raging on the inside.
Yeah. I've been able to do it at conventions because this is interesting. Finding a place I have been able to do it is really so. Listen, I say this a lot, but Sicilian, the passionate.
Oh, I mean, I remember seeing you not do it at conventions. One of my favorite memories is from 2013. And I was just like, because conventions are very, very hard. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting like far across the room. I'm sure you didn't see me. And you were in that hallway leading to the talent staff area. And you were just letting someone have it. Like,
no, I
could.
It,
and no. You say Sicilian, which is what brings up this memory, because the hands were just like flying, like the hands and everything. Like, you could read the interaction from 50 feet away.
I have no memory. Literally none. I am 100% sure it's true. But I have no memory of it. And the thing is, the hard other aspect is that this whole company came about because of that passion. Not mine specifically, but the existence of a passion that you let be part of your life, yes. right? And so in the course of doing events, that first of all, that thing has changed. And by 2013, that was rare. There were a couple things going on in 2013 that now that I think about it, would have evoked that kind of reaction. But in 2009, it was like half the weekend, you know? And in 2011, it was less so because it was a weird weekend. At like 2014 and on, and with the growth and with more people doing more things, which took stress off me, that changed. And also, once you do it once, once you sort of get through quacking once, you sort of are like, this is awesome. And I don't you can do this. But I don't think of that as particularly acting because it is the action that I need to perform. Acting to like getting through the event. No, I guess it is. When you're feeling, sorry, guys, this is going to be a little bit, this
therapy
is hard.
Session. This is a therapy session.
No, this is hard because you have to put forward such a calm face because you're a mirror.
Yes.
That's what it is. Because what I'm talking about is situations where I'm not necessarily a mirror. I'm not trying to be an example for somebody else. I'm just trying to get a good result for my business.
But isn't that the same thing?
It needs to be. It should be.
Right? So I think a lot.
This all sounds like I'm a loose cannon. It's not. No. Not true. It's just that like in like small pitched moments that I can't quite kind of like don't want to do it. So you have a couple of like hard conversations and when you feel like somebody's really disrespecting you. Like I only get mad in a couple of situations when I feel like somebody's trying to screw us or I feel like somebody's really disrespecting the work we put in or the work of the team. Those are the buttons. And when somebody's pushing those buttons, it is very, very hard for me to artifice it. And I got to learn how. And you are very good at this. And I mean that as a true compliment. Like, it's not like a coldness thing at all. Not even a little. You're just, you so often will just be like, okay, so what do we want out of this situation? You're just like a very, you can do it. And when I asked you how you did that, you said it's about deep acting. And how do you do it, Takeda?
Well, so the deep acting thing is actually a reference to a episode of the Work Life podcast by Adam Grant. I think it's called Faking Your Emotions at Work. Appropriately.
See, this is what I'm saying. I'm so hard to fake. I hope people listening feel me on this. Faking is so hard, especially when half of your business model is about being authentic. Tell me how.
Well, so like the trick of deep acting is that you find something that's true and you lean into it.
Say more words.
So, for instance, you're in a conversation where you're really pissed at the other party and everyone is there, you know, saying a lot of things that you think are incorrect or misleading or whatever, and like tensions are rising, which is usually what happens. I usually try to either understand their perspective and thus get us towards like a amicable solution. Like, okay, this is what you're saying. Is that right? And then move in that direction. Or I will pick something that they said that is like probably minor and not really a part of the larger conversation, but something I agree with. And I agree, like out loud, I say, I agree with this, and then go through all of the other things to get there. The things that I don't agree with, the things that we want to change. But I try to start from a place of like, honestly, a little bit being on their side, because I think that in the same way that mirroring your like positive emotions at conventions make other people happy, starting from that place will make the other party feel more on your side and push everyone towards what you want. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it feels
it's so like
Slytherin.
It's Jedi. It is Slytherin. Very Slytherin. That's my secondary
it's
Slytherin.
Still so Slytherin. I'm like a fourth Slytherin. I'm like a third. I'm a secondary Hufflepuff. But I might be a third Slytherin. I don't know. I don't know. They're all very close. It is so, and it's necessary. And it's, I guess it's just a matter of practicing. But the idea of find something to agree on is a really good. That's really good. Yeah. I'm going to take that with us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like rare, but every time I feel myself give in to the pull of this.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Well, I also did like a semester's long kind of mindfulness class, but it was called The Practice of Self-Management. And it was really good. I honest to God wish I meditated more and like did more of the things that I... Mindfulness meditation like truly changes your life. Like I like 100% believe in it. And I wish I could build a stronger practice because it does do all the things that people say that it does. It does.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, like, and there's like, meditate.
And there's like scientifically proven data about the way that it can like help you be more in control of your sensations and like your reaction. It's not going to change like all of your brain.
It's not going to change the emotions.
It doesn't change the emotions, but it changes the way that you feel about them, which is right. Like it, which leads to your behavior and leads to so much of the way that you interact with the world. So it is like truly magical. So one, meditate, but two.
Do you have like resources people should check out for that? Certain apps or books?
I mean, everyone has, I feel like everyone's heard of like Headspace and Calm and things like that.
It's that kind of meditation?
Yeah. Like,
cool.
That would be really, really great. There's also, honestly, the newest season of Explained on Netflix is about the mind. And I have already, it came out like 2 weeks ago. I think I've already watched every episode 3 times. Like it is Explained on Netflix. I can't underline how much it's Ravenclaw catnip. Like it is soothing to my soul. Honestly, this is something I will put on when I'm feeling anxious, just because like having someone explain something to me in like calm tones with like pretty visuals calms me down. Like just that.
Very cool.
But also the information is very useful. And there's a great episode on mindfulness that I think would be super useful. But we also, in that class, talked about reactivity and like how to better understand your reactive emotions and like what's the process that your mind and body goes through when something happens. And so that you can start to intercede and like divert yourself from where you don't want to go. So like, for instance, alarm clocks used to give me like a lot of anxiety because like alarm clocks suck.
Sure,
like,
they do.
Right, like Monday morning and like everything. Also, I used to check my email first thing in the morning and like don't do that.
No.
I still do it sometimes, but I've gotten like a lot better at it.
I do it sometimes.
And it's really bad. No one should ever do it.
Ariana Huffington has a whole thing about this. She doesn't think your phone should even be in the bedroom.
I wish I could get there. I did for like, I went like 3 months where I left my phone in the living room.
Wow.
It's like a tough habit to build.
Also, our phones are just so much now. They are our alarm clock.
I've been thinking about it a lot, though. I think it would help me sleep better if it were like away. But I don't trust other alarm clocks. It's really kind of where
honestly,
I am.
Yeah. But you have a watch, right? You have a Fitbit something?
I have a Fitbit.
You probably set an alarm on that.
To vibrate? Mm-hmm. I don't know that I trust that.
Or you can get the lights.
I have an Echo. So like I set that alarm.
God, we have a lot of devices. You know what actually is the best for getting up? I can't do this now that I have a partner that I live with. It's the lights.
Yeah, I need to get one of those. I have a lamp, sun lamp, because I hate the winter and like get a little like it's too dark in every place. I have one of those sun lamps, but I need to get like a bluish, a more blue tinted light because I feel like the yellow light isn't supernatural. But this is all a huge tangent. Reactive emotions. So basically, it's like tracking what happens when you get an email that makes you mad and then you immediately respond to it. Right. And that's not right.
Like, not great.
You're like, I wish so I could have like gotten onto the road.
Not great, Bob.
And stopped myself before I got there. And so I thought like I found that really, really helpful to like plot through like, okay, I get the email and then my like temperature rises, right? Like I start the story I tell myself is X, Y, or Z thing,
right.
Which is a very Brene Brown like vulnerability.
I love Brene Brown.
I also love her.
Who's like, yeah, that Brene Brown doesn't have that much interesting stuff to say.
But like, so you like go through like all of the steps that get you from like saw email, responded and everything blew up and like figure out how to start noticing it and slowing it down. And that way you can like intercede in your own pathways.
Okay, great. I'm going to start meditating. Honestly, I have been thinking about doing that for a long time. Also, my stupid watch tells me to do it all the stupid time. And maybe just the way I'm talking about my watch is an indication that I should meditate. No, it's people do say that, that it's life-changing. And, you know, yeah, okay, it's going to be a make new mistakes experiment, y'all. I'm going to start meditating.
Great.
And we're going to talk about what happens.
Just focus on your attention.
Yeah. What's the time that you could not rein it in? I feel like I've been vulnerable here telling the world that there are times that I've just freaking lost it.
Yeah.
What's the time that you failed at this?
I'm more a crier. I'm less a, like, not that you're a screamer, but I'm less of a screamer.
I'm a screamer and a crier, excuse me.
But I'm definitely more of a crier. And honestly, I think that this like gets to our like introvert extrovert thing. Like I am more overwhelmed by like my internal life, like my like what I have to say about myself and like all of the ways that I have failed at things. And like even when something is going wrong, instead of getting mad at the other person, I often get mad at myself. And so like I like most of the times where I've like fully lost it have been like implosions.
That makes falling, sense.
Like, and I cry. I cried at every event until like leaky 2018, maybe. Like, yeah. I like that might be the one where I stopped crying.
Yeah, there's always a moment.
Always a moment where it's, and it, sometimes it's small and sometimes it's very big, and I fall apart. I also am like very cat-like in that I hide to cry.
You do. I've seen, so there, okay. So I've clocked that you are about to cry maybe like two or three times in the time we've been working together.
Excuse me.
And I've seen you walk off and my fixer instinct is like, what can I do to help this? But knowing there's nothing, you know.
It's like, no, I'm going to go die in the bathroom.
And like, we've had like one or two like tough situations where I know that was the cause, you know, and what I do is instead of in that moment feel it on myself, it just comes back at me. It's back like weeks and months later. You're like, you know, there's that time you made Takiya cry. Like, I've been like sitting at home, nothing related. And it will just appear.
Oh, no.
And so I'm very sorry for making you cry. I paid for it like Jacob Marley style. I'm crying now. Oh, good Lord. This has been like a therapy session. There's laughs, there's tears, all here at making mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, these are the things that I think separate the successful from the people who aren't, right? Like, you have to figure out how to push through difficult times and difficult conversations and things like that. I think that like one of the biggest differences, and I think about this all of the time. My time at the HPA was a fraught. Is a good word for it. Uh-huh. And like I really love the HPA, and like I'm back on the board as the president. The one of the like things that really like separate it are like an awareness and I am older. Like I am more able to feel like I'm making decisions as opposed to being dragged through something. And I think that that is like really, really important. And I think that that's like when that is being in control of your emotions, right? It's like, I am not letting whatever happens, whatever bad things happen, aren't happening to me. I am making decisions. I am moving
honestly,
through them.
Yeah. And the times when I feel most at peace with how I've reacted to something, that has been a common energy as well. Like a feeling of like, I controlled that. Even like there have been some personal scenarios that I remember I had a conversation with an ex that a friend was sort of like helping me through. And I felt done at the end of the conversation. Mm-hmm. And they answered last. And my friend said to me, because I was like, I'm done. I don't feel the need to answer anymore. And they're like, you won that. Do not answer again. You made the decision to end the conversation. And it was like such a silly, like trivial thing. But yeah, feeling like you were in control in those moments really can change your perception of them later, whether or not it was the right thing or you won or like whatever the hell you mean, you know. But when you look back and think yeah, I was in control of every action I took over that time.
Yeah.
It's a more positive remembering experience than the times I did not feel that way.
Yeah. And I think that it's like in high pressure situations, it's easy to feel like everything is hinging on this one move, or like the world will like honestly end if you do the wrong thing.
It will, though. Sorry, it won't.
But I think that like the thing that honestly, the thing that people pay lots and lots and lots of money for to therapy, and the thing that people meditate on for years, and that like I still do. So like these words are going to come out of my mouth and they aren't quite in my bones yet. The thing that's the most important to remember is that like you are actually the person who's going to have to live with it forever. The things that you say and do and the situations that you're a part of, the other people will probably like move on and forget, and like things, right? Like our lives, especially now, are very long. So like you are the only person who is actually going to have to live with that forever.
Yikes.
Which is for me is really freeing. Like I am, because I'm a super anxious person and like over analytical about things. I'm always worried that someone's going to like remember that I had toilet paper on my shoe, like mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. the littlest things. Mm-hmm. But if you're the only person who's going to remember, then like you're the only person who has to make peace with how it went or doesn't go. Like it only matters what you think.
Yeah. No, it's yep. 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 I'm sorry. I'm reliving something from this week. Personal related. So I'm not going to go into it further. So if I sounded like I went off a little bit there, that is why. Well, wow. Yeah, cool. Earlier today, I said to Zakiya, hey, let's, like literally an hour ago, I was like, hey, let's record. Let's talk about acting at work. She's like, okay. So we have no plan. Like, there's no outline. We just went into this. And I feel like it was one of our better
Yeah. No, I think that it was good.
Yeah.
Great. So what's a mistake you made? Mistakes in the news?
What comes first? Mistakes in the news.
All right. Oh, can we talk about WeWork?
Let's talk about WeWork. We are in a WeWork.
We are literally in a WeWork right now.
I don't think they like us here very much because we took a one-person office and we covered it in Netgrate, and that is the Mischief Management Recording Studio.
But it works really well. This sound is great.
Great. A little post-processing, but it sounds really good. And we're not even using expensive equipment, so there you go. So lately, WeWork decided it would offer its IPO, which is when you bring a company public and allow other people to buy shares of it to increase its value.
Yeah, and in order to do that, you have to make public a lot of information about your company.
Yes.
Which is honestly, I think, the point that maybe the CEO forgot. Like,
we'll get into it. Forgot or like has not been conditioned to realize that there are consequences
There's
to their actions at all. So they did this SE1, I think it's called, the filing, and it's just chock-a-block of embarrassing, and because you have to like outline your risks, and it was valued at $47 billion. And once all this information became public and people started taking a more scrutinous look at Adam Neumann, who's the owner and founder, at the structure, at the risks, at the loans, at the burn rate, valuation dropped by more than half to 20 and then to 10. And now they've called off the IPO. And it is a giant, crazy thing. And now Adam Neumann has stepped down because so much has come out. So it was just this. We've been with WeWork since 2015.
Yeah.
We went from a little one person and now we're in like a 20-person office, and we've seen them grow. And you always say this. Let's just be honest. We've watched how the company has changed from a company that was like sort of like doing everything grandly to one that is sort of shaving corners.
I mean, the difference between some of their older buildings and this one and just like the size mm-hmm. of the offices is noticeable.
My first one person would call that a two.
Yeah. Now.
And it was barely enough room for me and Sierra to sit inside and do work when she first started with us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the offices have gotten smaller. The amenities are fine. They're great. Like, you know, the free beer is cool, but nobody uses it really. and, you know, free coffee. Listen, WeWork is an amazing company for some really good reasons.
Yeah. And honestly, like a lot of the community managers, folks that we've worked with,
great.
Have been great.
Yeah.
It's just really, it's a fascinating story to follow.
Yeah. Well, there's so much, I don't want to like bash, there's so much good stuff about the way they do things, primarily above them, the way they put a premium on connecting the people inside their mm-hmm. building to each other. That has been incredibly valuable. We've met some amazing people, but this series of stories just kept coming out, and I kept sending them to Takiya because Facebook learned that I was reading these stories,
and so
Facebook
just
fed me the stories just nonstop. And so they found out that I can't even remember. They found out that he carried marijuana on a plane or something, sort of like casually.
Yeah, this story is hilarious to me. He flew to Israel on a private plane that he borrowed from someone. They had marijuana on the plane, left it there. The stewardesses found it, called the owner of the plane, and the guy was like, no, that's not okay. And so he was left in Israel without a way to get back and had to get a first class flight.
Yeah, I'm sure it was great.
Yeah. But that to me is like so funny.
Yeah, it's
dumb.
It's caricature.
Yeah, it's caricature.
It's the picture that got painted of Adam Neumann, or I don't know if it's Neumann, but is one of such intense lack of self-awareness that there would ever be consequences for his actions, like buying the trademark trademarking the Wii company and then forcing the company to buy it from him for like $6 million. Mm-hmm. It's like, who teaches certain people that they can get away with stuff like this?
I think he had appointed his wife to a committee to replace him if ever he like fell ill or could no longer be the CEO.
Wow.
Like she would have to approve,
which is for a private company.
Yeah,
you do you family companies, like that's what it is. But if you're going to take a company public, that cannot be the plan. I mean, what do I know? Maybe there are public companies, but you need a board to like approve that. That's how that works.
And their board had like no power. It's the whole thing is very, very interesting to read and to see. And I think it's just like it's a little bit of like an Icarus thing. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a leader who flew too close to the sun.
And it's also, it's prompting a lot of other conversations about this unicorn economy that investors are looking for.
Yes.
They want to find a unicorn. And so if they meet somebody that they think is charismatic, you'll often hear investors say that they invest in the person and not the business. And I think this is crazy cakes. I understand it to a certain extent. You need to believe in the person. Absolutely. You need to believe that they can contribute, that they are adaptable, that they will continue to do to make ideas happen, that they're always looking for the next thing. Yes. But if you think that the company and the idea and the thing that they're actually producing doesn't matter, what are you doing? You know? So, and what seems to be happening here is that these idea guys, these entrepreneurs are convincing investors of like plans that are impossible in size to really understand.
Yes.
So that they can feel like they're part of a unicorn. And then just today, we got an alert that Uber is trying to become your quote unquote, its app wants to be your quote unquote operating system for your whole life.
I don't know what that means.
Nobody knows what that means. Nobody knows what it means. And it's part of this insane investor culture. And it's a part of our lives because this may be part of our lives one day. And we may be meeting with people who want us to be like that. And we're just not like that. I have full belief in our company producing amazing things.
Mischief's going to be the operating system for your whole life.
What the
obviously.
Hell is that? I don't even understand. Like, maybe I'm just old school. I want to know what a business does and what its product is, and when the product is everything. You know. Anyway, it's prompting a lot of like really fascinating and cool discussions, and so just look up WeWork and look at all the many mistakes that are going on out there.
It's quite a few.
Yeah.
What's a mistake you made this week?
Oh boy. Can I tell about a mistake that I almost made? So I won't do names, but I've been listening to a new podcast that I really love, and I was not going to contact them. I thought, they get a lot of emails. This is stupid. Mm-hmm. This is dumb. But I, in the history of my life, when I have felt compelled by something enough to reach out to creators of that thing, it has always had a good result. And when I felt open enough to write something that's like a little vulnerable myself and like be honest, that has also paid off. So like I wrote this whole thing thinking, don't send it. They're just not going to care, like blah, blah, blah. And then I remembered how many times, which is really like only like two or three in my life have done that, but that how people do react to that when you come from a genuine place. And I did. I sent it and they responded like within an hour and they were really touched and we may do stuff together in the future. And it was just like a reminder that the little voice in your head sometimes is a real mistake to listen to. Mm-hmm. I've named that voice. I call it Grognot. It was a long time ago blog post
vampire.
I made. It's my vampire. It's a little green man, a little green snot man that I call Grognot. Mm-hmm. Will calls his he just named it and I can't remember, the Undertoad. The Undertoad is what he calls it. It's from a prayer for Owen Meany, I think. It's that voice that's saying that this thing that you're doing, because it's a little bit scary and maybe you're worried you'll be embarrassed, is not worth doing. And I'm glad I didn't listen to it.
Yeah, die vampires, die.
Die vampire, die. What about you?
I can admit this one. So we had a meeting on Wednesday at 10:30, and I see a personal trainer Wednesday mornings. And so I like hadn't really looked at the calendar at all and totally forgot about this meeting. And so got in around 10 and was like, oh crap, like this is like an external meeting that I have to prepare for.
Oh, I remember this
meeting.
Like
I should think about this a little further. And so I spent like, there's a Slack message to Kyla that's like, so I'm gonna be honest, I forgot this was happening. And so in the next 10 minutes, I need to have an idea of like some numbers, so can you send me this immediately?
She did. Thanks. Because she's Kylie.
Thank you.
Yeah. For what it's worth, I did not know until after the meeting that you had forgotten about the meeting.
Yeah, that's why you gotta fake it well. You just like
this episode's gonna be called Faking It, by the way. Fake it till you make it.
Yeah. What are some self-care tips?
I have been going to bed earlier.
Oh God, I need to.
Will has been going to bed earlier.
I really need to.
Yeah. And so I've just been like, well, I'll go to bed with you. Like, what am I going to do? Sit out here in the living room while you're in bed? Sure. And so we just curl up and I've been getting up earlier because of that. And then I have like time in the morning with him, which I never have. And we sit and we talk and we have a little like, you know, connection time. Whereas at night when I come in and I'm exhausted, we'll watch television or we just won't talk because our day's done and we're exhausted.
Yeah.
Whereas in the morning where I'm finding there's a little bit more energy between us and it's like really nice and connective. So I recommend going to bed earlier.
I need to do that.
You can meditate. God.
So I think my tip was meditation, but I guess something that I'm actually doing. I don't know, man. Meditate and put your phone. Honestly, schedule some doctor's appointments.
Did you do that?
I did. I have been congested for like forever, truly forever. Like I've just been congested forever. And so I went to an ENT last week. Actually, it turns out my congestion, acid reflux.
Oh, I had acid reflux for a little while. It's the worst.
Yes.
It's a thing you can take.
Yeah. It's terrible. I'm on a couple of medications trying to figure it out. But like, I think that a lot of people, especially like because we're busy and it's like an extra, like it's hard. Put it off, but like, take care of yourself. Go see a doctor.
We're very sage this week, y'all. Making mistakes. Episode, I think this is 8, 7, something like that. It feels like we've been doing it for a lot longer. It's just a lot of time.
Yes.
And we've missed some episodes. Yes. So that's why it's taking a minute. But we have an editor now. So we hope you've had a good time listening to our. Talk about being vulnerable. This is a little bit vulnerable, this podcast. But we're going to do it. We're going to put it out there because that always returns. You just got to keep reminding yourself of that fact.
Oh, yeah, man. The gifts of imperfection. This is another Brené Brown. I love her.
Come on our podcast, Brené Brown.
Honestly,
I'm sure you've got some time in your schedule. Fine. I would encourage you to go check out the rest of Mischief Media's offerings. There's podcasts, there's Extraneous, and there's A Story Most Queer, which just started really regularly producing, and it's wonderful.
The episodes are so good. We're boogieing.
It might be my favorite podcast right now.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we will see you soon. Send us emails. newmistakespod@gmail.com. There's so many podcasts.
Yeah. Follow us on Twitter at newmistakespod and Facebook.
New Mistakes.
At New Mistakes. And Instagram at newmistakespod.
Yep. All those things. We'll see you there.
Bye.
Bye.